Okay, I'm Murray, for anyone who doesn't know. I'm bringing the message tonight. Let's just start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray, Lord, and we just ask for the Holy Spirit to just bring something to life tonight, Father, as we come around your word, that we may be blessed, Lord, and you may bless us as your children. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight's message is Jesus cast out the spirits with a word. And it's an interesting time in history. We have more appliances, technologies, we have machines, we have the most safety rules. We've never had a time where life could be so easy, just as we sort of feel like we're reaching our peak. But people are still suffering physical problems. It's a time where hospitals are getting bigger and better. A time of choices of free or paid counselling, like Lifeline, Beyond Blue, Black Dog. And yet mental health problems and stress has become the catchphrase of our time. Mental health sickness is going through the roof. At this time, I thought we'd look at a few of the enemy's works in people and Jesus' works and our response. As Christians, we are targeted by Satan and evil spirits called demons. Why? Because we have gone from being under his rule, his kingdom, his spirit, and his being his spiritual children to being his enemies. He hated us before when we were his people. So how much more he hates us now? So I'm not sure whether he hates us all equally or he hates some more than others, but we know that he just doesn't like us. I just want to go to 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And the New Living Translation, it says, Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. The Western world, or our world, has had a period of time where in this modern era of atheism, which means that people don't believe in God, spirits, demons, and which is ironic because as we just read in that scripture, it's them very spirits that has made them not believe. And I find that interesting. Yeah, so atheists don't believe in spirits, and that's caused by the spirits. Despite the new hospitals and more counsellors, evil and unbelief seems to be on the rise. Sickness, depression, mental health problems caused by evil spirits as they try to express themselves. So spirits are persons without a body. They can have their own personality, emotions, and a voice. They seek to express themselves in a body, a house. A body is a house to them. So they can be in trees, animals, but the best of all is to be in a human, or just part of a human will do. Now, any of these evil spirits, they don't just want a free ride. They want to dominate, and not in a good way. They will cut off your nose to spite their face. Your body becomes their house, and they're not good tenants. They trash the house. Demonic spirits are oppressors, sickness and disease causes. They cause disabilities, death, other things. And we're just looking at a couple of examples today. And we want to just look at body, soul, and spirit. So I want to look at it in the three parts, starting with the spirit man, which we did just talk about, how they blind the eyes of unbelievers. So the non-Christian, anyone who is not born again, cannot understand spiritual truths. So 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Yeah, so this is the ultimate or greatest sickness a human can have, because the end result for these people is not about how much they have sinned, but who is their father? Their spiritual father is Satan, and they will go to his house whether they believe he is real or not. We say anyone who is not a born-again believer is spiritually dead. which is prophetic. If they don't become Christians, they are in fact spiritually dead. As Christians, we have secured the ultimate victory. We have believed and we know who we have believed upon. We are spiritually saved and spiritually healed. We're winners. As Christians or humans, spiritual attacks on our spirit include fear. Fear may start out as and includes stress and worry. Fear is spiritual like faith because it goes beyond reason. And so fear as well as unbelief and doubt is often called the opposite of faith. People say, I was gripped by fear. In the natural, we can try to overcome and sometimes succeed, or we can just miss out on things and it becomes a weakness. Prolonged fear, although spiritual, ages people in the physical realm. It can turn your hair grey quickly, and that is permanent. It can age your skin. That's medical, what they say. You know, it can take high levels of fear or stress will do that to you. And I guess the damage is permanent, but as Christians, we always believe in miracles. So I just want to share a story I sort of read. Back in 1918, there was a couple of blokes on the river that goes down the Niagara Falls. They were in a boat. It came loose. It got stuck, and then it stayed stuck for like 24 hours, and then it came unstuck, and then it went further down right towards the edge of Niagara Falls and got stuck again. The blokes obviously were panicking the whole time, thinking they were going over. Then they run some ropes across the river, and they were going to put a sling across to get them back, but it got caught up. And then by that time it was dark, and so they found a bloke who was willing to go across the ropes to untangle them, but he never had enough light back in the day. So then they had to wait till the next morning. Anyways, so the next morning they untangled the ropes, they slung a sling, and they finally got the blokes back to shore, and they say that one guy's hair turned white over the 2 days. So it's a good story, but anyway. And then we have Jesus took the stress for us. So Luke 24, 43 to 44. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So Jesus took all our stress onto himself, and it was going to kill him. The stress of becoming sin was killing him in the Garden of Eden, and he needed to get to the cross before he could die. So he prayed and an angel strengthened him. So yeah, so like I was saying, even though fear is not anything physical, it will affect you in the physical. Fear affects the whole man. And then scripturally we have 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And then in the New King James it says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So one version says power, love and self-control. The other version says power, love and a sound mind. And these things are all the opposite of a spirit of fear, because fear will take away your power. Fear will take away your love. It'll take away your self-control, and it takes away your sound mind. As Christians, none of that sort of fear comes from God. We have the advantage. We are empowered by God's love, and we grow and we protect our faith. Jesus cast out the evil spirits that were attacking man's spirits, like the spirit of fear, with a word. Okay, so the next scripture we have is Mark 5:36. So Mark 5:36 says, As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Do not be afraid, only believe. Okay, so we're going to move on now to the soul man. So that includes the will, the emotions and the mind. Evil spirits work on the mind, emotions and will. The end goal seems to be a multitude of conditions around oppressions. Acts 10:38 says, How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Oppression means to hold down. So certain countries and peoples are oppressed by the devil. We've been to some. and even Australia in some ways is oppressed. They can't develop or progress. They're controlled by religions and governments who are more or less controlled by evil spirits. So as believers, we were once oppressed, but now we're free from the oppression of unbelief. But there's a lot of oppressions out there in different to different degrees. As we were talking about earlier, the Korean pastor Young Yi Cho said after the Korean War that he ministered to many with oppressions and depression. And he said that people start by being obsessed with a problem, and or it could be an addiction or a situation, obviously not God, and then they become oppressed. They can't move past it. It holds them down, and they feel oppressed. And then they become depressed, weighed down, and then if they don't do something in any of those stages, they'll end up possessed, and then they'll lose control to a controlling spirit, and they're unable to get free without deliverance, and they can offer nothing to help. So depression feels like a weight or a stone on your heart, a depression. A person will go to the doctor and they'll get medication, drugs, counselling, psychiatric stuff. When we were in Chinchilla, we knew a woman, Christian woman, and she suffered from severe depression, and then they had to move to Toowoomba so she could get, it's called electroconvulsive therapy, and it involves passing an electric current through the brain to try to relieve the symptoms. The problem is basically the spirits don't have a, even though the spirits themselves don't have a body, it feels like a weight. So I'm not sure how that works, but they can do that. And so even though the counselling medication can be helpful, the drugs tend to have side effects that weaken the will. And so the problem is supernatural, and it needs a supernatural response. And we have to remember that the Holy Spirit is the greatest of the spirits. Luke chapter 4, 18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus came to set at liberty those that are oppressed. Jesus cast out the spirits that were oppressing people's souls with a word. Okay, so now I want to move on to the human body hosting evil spirits. So I want to consider the word germ. The word germ is used for lots of things. And we talk about germs. As a farmer, I guess, the word germ is used to describe like a grain of corn, and you have the white tip, and that's called the germ. And that's got all the genetic material in it. And if that gets damaged, the seed won't grow. And every seed has a germ. They also use that term to describe parts of an embryo and all sorts of stuff. But germs are floating around everywhere around us, we're told, and on surfaces and in the air. And they are like seeds. So they, when they can get in, they'll cause a sickness. They enter the body and they'll cause a sickness. The natural body deals with them constantly and has many lines of defense. Then once a germ can get in, and so it'll get in, say, start as a bruise, a cut, an injury, all sorts of ways a germ can get in. And if the body doesn't sort it out, it grows. And once it starts growing, then once it takes on a life of its own, it now takes in an evil spirit, because anything that has a life has an evil spirit. So a cancer, for example, has an evil spirit inside of it. It has become a living thing. A cancer sets off roots and tentacles, and it sucks and eats its way through the body. It needs the host to live, but it is alive. So the medical doctors will try and kill the cancer without killing the person, and they'll operate, and if they'll try to leave nothing behind, otherwise it'll keep growing. Or they'll try chemotherapy, which is a poison, I guess, and hope that the body sees the cancer, or that they kill the cancer but without killing the person. Or they use radiation. They can radiate it, but knowing that radiation also causes cancer. Like I said, everything that has a life of its own has its own spirit. So if the doctor can get all the cancer physically and remove it from the body, that spirit has to come out with it. It's not the best way, but it is a way. All right, so I just want to go to Matthew 8:16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all that were sick. So Jesus was casting out the spirits out of the body of the man, and as they went, they were healed, set free from oppression, and they were healed. The interesting thing is that you have the authority over these evil spirits. They move very easily when a cancer dies. So say a believer prays for a person and commands it to leave, and if the spirit leaves the cancer with a prayer, there's five things that can happen. The cancer can disappear instantly, like a miracle. The cancer very slowly disappears and finally is no more. The cancer can die and swell up, and the body has to get rid of it, and it causes the person to get very sick, and that can go on for a week or two. And then the person recovers. And sometimes if the cancers are on the outside, they can just drop off. And lastly, it'll seem that nothing at all has happened. But I believe God has us on the rise. And although we're targets, we have the Holy Spirit, the helper, and the wonderful counselor. And we need to cling to him at this time. Jesus shared his victory with us. Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public display of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus shared his victory. And it's important to remember, as easy as our word throws out, in Jesus' name, I command this evil spirit to leave this body. And we have to be just a bit mindful that just as easy to get them back with words, thoughts, and actions. As soon as symptoms comes, if a person cries, it's back, I knew it, it was too good to be true, I said that was my bad luck, I'm cursed, I knew it, I'm going to die, well, you're speaking their language. So we have to be a bit mindful of that. As Christians, we are in control and we're not their servants. And if we make mistakes, that's okay. And if we get it wrong, that's okay too. So, and death isn't as scary to us, because we know that it's a pathway to heaven. The pressure's off. And if we have a go as a Christian, God's just pleased that we're stepping up. Jesus cast out the evil spirits. Jesus has shared his victory with us so that we are demon and devil masters with him. We have options and answers that the rest of the world knows nothing about. They don't operate in the spiritual. Our advantage is knowledge of the spirit world. We are not in denial, and we're not like the world around us. Okay, so I'll just recap the main points. Man's spirit is attacked by the spirits of fear and unbelief and others. Man's soul by oppression, depression, stress, and many other things. Our bodies, spirits attack us with sicknesses, diseases, and the spirits give them a life of their own. And so we get cancers and many other things. But Jesus cast out the evil spirits with a word, and he wants us to do the same. So I just want to share a bit of a story about a guy called Todd White. He's on the internet, and it's just got an interesting story behind him. He's not my go-to guy, but he's interesting to listen to. So he was heavily into drugs and all that, and he got prayed for, and he got completely delivered. And he'd launch straight into ministry and a lot of street ministry. And he'd pray for anyone he came across. Randy Clark, I was listening to another guy called Randy Clark, and he was good friends with him. And he was telling him that when Todd prayed for everyone he could find, and when he started out, nothing at all would happen. He'd just pray for these people and nothing would happen. But he kept going. He just said, oh, well, God said to pray for the sick and to pray for those who need deliverance, and I got delivered, so I'm just going to do the same. And like I said, he got delivered from drugs, which is another demon. He just pray and cast them out and leave the rest to God. He got up to like 700 people that he prayed for, and not a single person got healed. And then he thought, well, I'll keep going. And then things started to change. People started to get healed. And since then, his healing rate or his percentage is up to something like, he gets up to 80% at times. So it worked out. He has a lot of haters, but the people that have been healed and delivered when he's put his hands on them are so grateful. And so I found Todd's testimony really encouraging because, you know, the first few times you pray, nothing much can happen. But sometimes things do happen, and I've prayed for people and they have been delivered. So, yeah, we should take heart and take courage. We just keep praying and casting out spirits. So demons affect us, but we can affect them. All right. Well, I hope you got something out of that. That's it.
Okay. Thanks, Murray. And I really thank you for that. As Murray's just been talking, he kept referring back to Jesus. And in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So, church, we really need to honour Jesus. He is the only way to come to the Father. There's a lot of things around and people say you can get to God anyway. No, you can't. Jesus said it, I believe it, and that is it. And you don't have to listen to everything else. And if sometimes we want to go off track and we want to get into other religions and things, that's what actually happens, exactly what Mari's talking about. You open the door. Even if you go and investigate it, you need to stick and investigate and learn what Jesus says. And when we do that, they can't touch us. They'll have a jolly good go if we allow them. He is the Son of God who came to save humanity from sin and death. And I know, whoever gets sick of hearing that story? Do you ever get sick of hearing that story? I just want to share something with you. If you do, please go and seek the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. If you get sick of the story of salvation in and through Jesus Christ, you have a demon. I will just say that to you. You have a problem. You're not taking Jesus at his word that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So I just encourage you, when you're speaking with people, just ask them and remind them where the truth, the way, the truth, and the life back to the Father comes from. Jesus said that. None of us said that. He said it. And I think that that's the most wonderful promise and assurance that we can have. So this is the verse, and it's a reminder, as I've just said, that we are unable to come to God the Father on our own terms or by our own efforts or work. We come through believing what he said and receiving his grace and his mercy. And through that then, when you are born again, of course you know, you receive his Holy Spirit, the only spirit you need in, and comes and lives within us. So I'd just like to ask Tim and Ty, could you hand the communion out, please? And this is our prayer. Okay, let's just take this representing the body of Christ that was broken for us. Thank you, Lord, that we have your message, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that you've brought us here tonight to fellowship together, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to remember what you have done for us, as you have said. And we want to just thank you in your precious name. Amen. Take, eat. And Lord, with the cup that represents the blood that was shed for us, that washes us clean from our sin, the sin which is dishonouring Almighty God the Father, we take this now and say thank you that you have corrected that for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Take and drink. Thank you for your constant love, your constant presence, and your word that can constantly remind us of who you are and who you have created us to be, each one to fulfill the purpose that you have planned for each and every one of your people, everyone you ever created, regardless. You want them all home. For this we thank you, that we can remember, and we pray that we would share that message with others. In Jesus' name, amen.